Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now, and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that prediction at the end of the last segment where he's like, I don't even remember the score anymore. Was it 21-7?
Yeah.
21-7.
14-point game is what he had it.
That is the most, when it comes to predictions, that's the most defeated I've heard Pink in the 3 years that we've been doing this with him since he's been on with us. So now that being said, he did talk about the Myles Garrett endorsement of Stefanski and Barry. We're going to play that again in a moment here. But Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We do have Daryl Ryder coming up at 6. We got the 5 at 5 coming up in 60 minutes. And you know, we're just going to play the Myles endorsement of Stefanski and Barry from earlier today, where he was asked about Jimmy Haslam's endorsement. And mind you, Joel Bitonio's went big and saying, I think we got the right guys. Here's what Myles had to say.
We got those guys right there leading the charge organizationally. So them being here, wanting to put the right pieces in play, that'll always give me confidence. So as long as you know, that's looking how it is, then I want to be here, and I'll be happy to play for Cleveland. So I all got to be heading in the right direction. We all got to be on the same page. And until then, I'm going to be here, happily playing for this team to draft me.
So it's an interesting conversation. Not just because the face value of it, which we've gotten into, but because Myles previously said, I want to end my career in Cleveland. Do you view this as a status change?
Well, I mean, this kind of opens the door for a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
is him saying, I want it to be this, and if it's not this, then the door is open.
There is an or else implied.
Yeah, it sounded more like a threat than it did sound anything else. I agree with you on that.
And it's weird because I have previously said, you trade Myles and good luck. I mm-hmm. think I'm out as a fan.
Yeah.
This kind of thing is the thing that becomes the leverage there. that all of a sudden I don't feel the same way.
I think this is it's fantastic news if you're Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski that he's going to bat for you this way. But I think it's also good news for the Browns fan listening out there as well. Like, this is your star player saying, I believe in what you currently have. Don't move off of it. If you move off of it, I'm going to be so mad about that. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but just don't do that.
Yeah, so what's interesting about that is, because here's the one thing that we'll say. Miles says a lot. Miles is a loquacious guy. Miles has enjoyed having commentary on things historically.
But he's also not shy when he doesn't like something about voicing that too.
I think I don't know because I was not part of the press conference, but this is something we can ask Daryl. Did anyone follow up and say, does that mean if they were to get fired, you would ask for a trade? Because I think there's the inference here, but there's whether
would have been a good follow up. I don't know if
Miles,
it happened.
And I'll be honest with you, because we talked about it again, it is the best. It Miles of everybody in that locker room has more power than anyone because they would do just about anything to avoid getting to a spot where Miles doesn't want to be here. I also think with a 29-year-old edge rusher, I don't know. I'm giving him the full creative license on this. Like if this was 2 years ago, even. At 29, a lot of injuries. I don't know it carries the weight it did 2 years ago, if that makes sense.
I mean, like it
carries more weight than anybody.
If this was like a boardroom and it's a board of trustees, Miles doesn't have a seat at the table. I think we can agree on that. Like, no, he's not the one making the decision.
Like, should that stop you from firing Stefanski and Berry?
It's a good question, but no. Like, if you don't want Stefanski to be here anymore, Miles Garrett's not going to stop you on that. But then you can't be surprised that if you fire Kevin Stefanski, Miles comes back and says, okay, well, I meant what I said.
So.
You just got to be prepared for all of these angles.
That actually is kind of where I am. Because, again, I've said I might stop being a Browns fan if you trade Miles. If Miles went to bat for these guys, and I'm not trying to recant my previous words, because the whole thing was if Miles gets sick of losing, do you want to trade him? I would look at that as a massive, massive failure as an organization.
Yeah.
I don't view this as the same thing. If you lose and you look at this and go, I think it's Berry or Stefanski, and that changes Miles' status, then to me, I no longer put that on the Cleveland Browns. I put that on Miles. And I'm
true.
Now, again, I'm not anti-Miles for that, but it doesn't carry. Do you understand like the line I'm trying to draw there?
Yeah.
Like to me, I want Miles saying this. I really do. If this is what he believes, then I think it's an important part of the conversation. But I stop short of saying, well, man, I got Mike Vrabel 18 inches to Kevin Stefanski's right, or I've got Glenn Cook 18 inches to Andrew Berry.
Miles knows that, too, though. That's part of this whole equation. Miles knows that Mike Vrabel's in the building. He knows that they could have conversations if they wanted to have conversations. I think this is him saying, while he's got the chance to, I think this is him saying, like, don't make that move. I like what you currently have, which I think is an awesome vote of confidence. And if I'm a Browns fan, and I am, I love hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of, in terms of as a Browns fan, I'm kind of ambivalent to it. I think it's cool for Miles, and I think it's a nice sign for Stefanski and Berry. But man,
he believes he can get this turned around. Clearly, that's what he believes. Because if Miles didn't believe that, he wouldn't say it. The man, listen, we've heard Miles
things
for
we
years.
Don't necessarily believe.
He's way more honest than I think you're giving him credit for.
I think Miles, and listen, I'm speaking long term about Miles. There have been times he said things and his actions have been different. So I'm not saying that's what's the case here. I'm saying younger Miles, there were times where it would be like Miles is like the, hey, we got to do this guy. And then Miles would be the guy you were concerned about, whether it was like an off the field thing, like a car accident or something like that.
Yeah, I look at that a little bit differently. I look at it. Miles has always had, I believe, the right tenor of the locker room, obviously. But I believe when he spoke previously on like Joe Woods, for instance, he didn't sugarcoat any bit of it. You know, like I think he's got a pulse of the locker room like you wouldn't believe. I think in the previous 7 years when Miles has been down on things, we then found out later on, oh yeah, the locker room was very down in that moment and it kind of stunk and it was a whole mess. When he's been very high on things, typically that's when you see it kind of work out and when it's been looking good. I think he's always had a good pulse on it, which him saying that tells me that a lot of the locker room does still buy into Stefanski. Have you ever wondered if like Stefanski in a 3-win season lost these guys? I think Miles is telling you right there. He hasn't lost any of them.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting about that is I also think a lot of the guys saying it with this kind of passion are guys who remember 1-15.
I just
remember 0-16. Who remember the Hugh year with Hugh and Greg Williams and then into Freddie Kitchens. Like, I think that's also part of this, of maybe this also speaks to the lack of trust for Haslam to get it right if he does move on from Stefanski and
Could
Barry.
Be part of the equation. Could be. I don't look at this like when Raiders players last year were like, Antonio Pierce or nothing. And it's like, all right, guys, is that really what you're trying to rally the troops for that one? I just don't look at it that way.
What do you mean you don't look at it? You mean it's not as ironclad, or you think it's being pushed in the right direction?
I don't look at it as fraudulent is what I'm saying. I don't look at it as just like this is athlete speak, and what else are they going to say? I look at this as because he doubled back and he went around to it and he did say the way he did, we got those guys right there leading the charge. As long as that's looking how it is, then I want to be here. I looked at that as that is beyond just I'm going to put the good vibes out there. That is telling the front office, telling Jimmy Haslam and Dee Podesta, like, this, I like it this way. If you mess with this, I might not like it the same way, and we're going to have a conversation.
I can understand why you're saying that. I would just say, Miles is the big, because you and I are in agreement, it's the biggest endorsement you can get from that locker room.
For sure.
There isn't a player in that locker room that would stop me from making the move if I thought it was the right move.
We agree on that as well. There's no doubt about it. But it does speak to, I believe, more of what the locker room is thinking, because Miles is always, he's always been someone that's just been able to gather what the locker room is doing and then spit that out. And so I would think more guys than not, if you're hearing that, I would think more guys than not want to keep it status quo.
It's interesting. I just don't have that same read on Miles. Like, I think Miles, and again, I'm speaking past tense with Miles. Well, I think Miles has gotten it wrong several times. And I'm trying to think of like a specific example, but I think there were times where, even like throwing Joe Woods under the bus, that I think like those were, I think he picked,
that one went a long way with me.
Maybe the right message, but the wrong notes.
Well, it was the wrong time to do it, and I think we hammered him, and everyone should hammer him at the time because it was the wrong time to do it. But he was right. It was right when he spoke on it.
But there's also another part of me that's like, I still don't know if this is lip service. Again, it's just tough because I don't want to accuse Miles of being insincere. But I think there have been times we've gotten lip service from Miles, and I just think that needs to be documented as part of this conversation. I'm not saying that's what it is now, because that's a heavy thing to say about the best player in the franchise. Miles has given you lip service at different times. Ryan and Geneva, welcome to the show. What do you make of Miles Garrett's support of Stefanski and Barry?
I think it goes further than just Miles Garrett. I think it goes to probably the majority of the locker room, and this is my hypothesis, or my thought on it, if you will. I watched this team before, you know, Stefanski took over, Barry took over, but I've watched them a lot since then too, obviously. And I see an extremely undisciplined team. Even in the years where they had a good record, I mean, always amongst the lead leaguer in lead and penalties, particularly pre-snap penalties, just no discipline in general. And I think that has to do with the cupcake country club atmosphere that's being run there in that organization. And that has a lot to do with Stefanski. I didn't go to any of the training camps. I haven't been to a training camp in a long time. But I heard it's run like it's just a reprieve for these guys, basically. So basically, they like not having discipline. They like not having to have the accountability that a different coach, the different mindset might bring. So, of course, they're going to come in and support of him because they like, you know, basically just, you know, having a bunch of time off.
Ryan, I don't know that he looks at his career and says, I just want to take it easy. I mean, he's got not only Hall of Fame aspirations, he wants to win a Super Bowl. He's got things he wants to play for.
So, I kind of am vibing on what Ryan. Again, I think it's an interesting idea, Ryan. We appreciate it.
It's interesting, and thank you, Ryan.
And the reason being is, I do think players like Camp Cupcake. I do think that's a selling point for Stefanski internally. But I think more importantly, these guys pound their chest about player-led leadership and how this locker room is player-led. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of hearing about it in the midst of losing seasons. Like when I remember,
I think people love the idea of a player led locker room and love all that stuff. But when you do start losing, I mean, people love results more than they love taking an easy way out.
Well, and for instance, with that, I think Miles likes the illusion that the players are in control and that the players have the amount of say that I don't know they had with Greg Williams. And I think it would be obvious. I think it stands to reason you can be a logical person and go, hey, if you let go of Camp Cupcake, would you then go in the opposite direction? More of a Vrabel, more of a red ass, more of a Greg Williams, more of a Bill Callahan. And I think that could be part of the play here? Yeah. And I will be honest with you. My biggest problem with Kevin is that. My biggest problem is the leadership that when player leadership has fallen, or when we get stuff like the embarrassing quit at the end of the New Orleans game, when that happens, I very rarely feel like Kevin steps in, swoops in, and saves the day. Like, to me, it can't just be on the players to lead the thing.
Right.
You still have to have a good leader as a head coach.
I know. I would think a lot less of Myles Garrett, and I think a lot of Myles Garrett. I think a lot less if he was like, I want Camp Cupcake over results, over winning.
Well, I don't think they think it's Cupcake because it's still football. But yeah, do I think all the stuff that comes with Kevin, that they prefer that rather than the dog days of summer? Yeah. I think a lot of coaches... Because, again, I think it's the idea of, oh, well, we got this anyways. Now, the problem is the Browns don't got this, and that's why we go from 7 wins to 11 wins to 3 wins. But that, I mean, I think the caller had a really good point there. That is kind of part of my concern with this.
Listen, everyone would love to have what Andy Reid has been able to build in Kansas City, where he's got involvement from Mahomes and Kelsey. They tell him trick plays they want to run in practices, and they actually do it. But the reality is that... You have to be extremely talented, and you have to have proven something before you get all those allowances. And, yeah, Myles Garrett's extremely talented, and he's proven a lot, but that whole locker room isn't that.
Well, but I look to the defense in general. And, again,
maybe Stefanski gave him too much credit before they actually earned something. Just, I don't know. You tell me.
They sniffed their asses at every – and, listen, I don't care about the dancing.
Do you think Stefanski can boomerang and go back in the other direction then?
No. No, I
that's
think,
really hard. Then
I think that's harder than a red ass lightning. Up,
I mean, because I told you when we went in training camp, that's what everyone kept telling me, and when I saw it from my own two eyes, I called it Club Med at one point.
So
than other years.
I really do think that they take every single instance, like when you get like a 3 yard stop or a 4 yard stop, and I probably wouldn't want to celebrate that, but that's a stylistic thing. It works for today's athlete. That's fine. To me, it's when you hear them talk about a defense that clearly sucks this year, that's inconsistent, and they're like, guys, we're just a couple plays away. It's like, no, you're not. That means you're not a good defense. Like, and that has been a through line, and this is maybe where, again, I'm trying to believe what Miles says. I don't know him enough to take it in full vote of confidence. I'm naturally a skeptical person. These are very fair things to point out about how I perceive. I believe if somebody says something that they believe in at 100%, I believe 80% of it. That's just me as a human being. I have learned that people lie, especially when microphones are in their face. I am naturally skeptical. I point this out in deference to Miles. But it's really problematic that I've heard this locker room pound their chest for 5 years, and you have 2 winning seasons, 1 playoff win, and we're talking about Stefanski and Barry like they're Bill Walsh. That's not saying fire them. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying you don't get to 3-14 if that, or 4-13, wherever this goes, and we just get a rubber stamp of, well, as long as these guys are here, you're endorsing 3-10. That is not okay with me.
Well, he's definitely endorsing the two of them, and he made it pretty clear. If they move off of those two, think about, as long as that's looking how it is, I wanna be here, happy to play here in Cleveland. As long as that's looking how it is, Nick.
And you know what? Getting back to words, there. You know what?
Words matter. You want to say that? Words matter.
If Miles wants to prove that he's not even 2% full of it, there's one way he can prove that to me. We'll get to that next on 92.3 The Fan. I'm not meaning this as a personal shot at Miles. He's probably my favorite player on the team. Him and Nick Chubb. I want Miles to be a Cleveland Brown his whole career. But I think some of the things, it's just not hitting me right. And a lot of it's 3-10. It is. And they're just, so it's really not even what Miles is saying. Because again, Miles would know if he's being genuine, and I'll take him on face value as best as I can.
I genuinely think he is.
If Joel is being genuine, I'm going to, especially Joel. I've, there, like.
Well, he hasn't. He hasn't made a bad comment in 10 years.
I mean, he's kind of gone the Joe Thomas thing where Joe endorsed a lot.
But at least with Miles, we've seen him make comments before. You're like, oh, he clearly doesn't like this setup.
There's just something about this self-congratulatory attitude of this team at 3-10. And maybe I'm just kind of processing what a disappointment crap trap season this has been. But man, it pisses me off to hear how well things are going and how we got the right people in place when you're 3-10. It really does. And like the Haslam stuff of like, hey, we got the right people in place. And I'm all for some of this is window dressing. Mm-hmm. Some of it's you can only take the PR hit once when you come out and say, this is why we failed and all the, I understand that. But man, it just feels like at 3-10 on your way very likely to 3-14 to hear just this back clapping of, hey, we got the right guys in place here. 3-14. Guys, this is not 7-10. It's not 8-9. Those were acceptable floors. And I know they would be massively disappointing if they were 7-10 this year. I'm not saying that. 3-14 or 3-10 as of right now is a million times worse. You have to actively suck in almost every way in the NFL to get to 3-10. And these guys seem nonplussed about it. They're still riding on last year. And I understand that Miles deserves the right to say what he thinks, and I encourage him to. This is what I want leaders to do. But man, how in the hell can anyone look at 3-10 and feel like this thing's the right spot? And Miles,
I don't know that it's the right spot. I think it's more about the future.
But real quick, with that, because I think this is important. Because there's always, in as long as I can remember, there have been words versus actions with the Cleveland Browns.
Sure.
So I want to believe Miles. I'm believing Miles as much as I can. Miles being out there, playing through injuries, maybe risking an Achilles injury at 3-10. I'll take that as part of the actions meeting the words. Here's the thing, though. I don't want one more game like Pittsburgh again then. Every one of these games better be one-score games from here on out. Because if I get the sense in any one of these games, we have another second Steelers game, the Saints game. If you guys go non-competitive and you lay down at any point this season, I'm going to go ahead and erase everything you said in support of these guys ever again. And again, this is not me saying I want people to fire. I would like to see people as pissed off as me and every Browns fan out there who freezes their cojones off to watch this team disappoint them in what was, considering where we started, with playoff implications, playoff ideologies, right? Playoff thoughts, to go to 3-10 and then, hey, we got the right guys here. And if you like 3-10, wait till we do it again next year. It just like, I think that's where it sits with me. That's where it's like, man, I don't want to hear this today.
Yeah.
No, I want you to go out there. I want you to beat the Chiefs. I'd like to get some wins. And at the end of the season, I'd like to forget that this happens. And then I'm going to drink the brown and orange Kool-Aid this offseason because you're going to have a top 10 pick. I don't want to hear how good they have it. Just go out, be as competitive as you can, and stop slapping each other on the back because you've done nothing this year. You've done less than nothing. You're the highest paid 3-10 football team in NFL freaking history. So I don't want to hear how much you like Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. I don't want to hear how much Jimmy Haslam. I'm not saying fire him, but stop with the love of God. Oh, I mean, look what we've done. 2 winning seasons, 1 playoff win, 3 losing season, and now 3-10. Cut the crap. Good God.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
God almighty. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's been building up for like 3 hours because I hadn't pinpointed.
You're allowed to yell. It's okay.
It just hadn't pinpointed me why when I heard Miles say that, it was like, God,
wow,
bless
it. I mean, to be honest, though, I feel like in a lot, listen, I like the rant. I liked you going down that road, but like he was asked a point blank question. What do you think about Haslam's voice of support? He's like, I want these guys here.
There was an oral statement.
I didn't get the self-congratulation part of it, though.
Well, no, everything else we've said from them. But to me, why at 3-10 are we doing or else? Like, again, I think maybe that's the other part. That's where it feels self-congratulatory.
The threat almost of it all. Yes. Like, you need to keep these guys or else I'm going to be really mad.
As long as these guys are here, I'm going to be happy because you enjoy 3-10. Because that's what the rest of the NFL thinks of Myles Garrett. He's not a winning player.
Yeah, I think it's a devil you know type thing, though. I think he knows Stefanski. I think he knows Barry. And I think he understands nobody's been more aggressive than Stefanski and Barry to try to win and win big. It hasn't worked out for him, but they've been ultra aggressive in trying to do that. And I think Myles is looking at it and saying, I don't have a million years left. I can't go through a 5-year rebuild. I can't do a full rebuild or any tank, whatever you want to call it. I can't do that.
They probably don't have to do it either.
But listen, if you're Myles Garrett and you want to stay a Brown for as long as you can, what's the quickest way out? You have two guys that have to win ball games and have to try to be competitive. And so I think he's looking at it and saying, that's my best route. If I don't want to waste seasons, that's my best route. It's in the best interest of Myles Garrett to try to have these two guys employed.
I just realized I'm like the schizophrenic dude in the corner because you're talking and I'm listening to you and I'm also having an argument with myself. I'm like moving to side to side and like, well, he's got a good point there. No, he doesn't, Nick. Like, I just... Like, the frustrating thing here is, I'm just hearing all this, and it's like, okay, man, all right. Yeah, you know what? You know what? They just got to coach better. Let's all fans out there stop being emotional, stop caring, just start farting platitudes into the wind that mean nothing, and you too can fail your way to 10 years in an NFL job.
I mean, don't you want to know what he has to think about the current situation? I do. I thought that was fascinating. And I took it as a positive. I know you didn't want to hear it that way, but I took it as a positive.
Yeah.
The idea that he's there, he clearly has always had a voice in the locker room. The locker room has not given up on Stefanski. They've not given up on Barry. Clearly, he sees something that he likes and believing that these guys can get this turned around. Like, that matters. It does matter.
Yeah,
because Miles can sniff out BS a mile away.
Yeah, that's the guy isn't God. All right, the guy has had moments of insincerity.
He's been a straight shooter when he hasn't liked people in the past. And Joe Woods, I go back to it because it hit me like a ton of bricks when it happened. He was bus tossing Joe Woods before it was even in vogue to bus toss Joe Woods.
Just because he did that 3 years ago doesn't mean he's somehow being more. Again, because I don't want to paint it as insincerity. I just don't know how, as a competitor, you're cool with 3-10. And again, you're cool and looking at this and going, hey, rubber stamp of approval. Like, that was the one thing that Haslam said the other day that I liked. Hey, I'm not going to get emotional in season. I'm going to look at it at the end of the season, and we'll go from there. That's different than, we got the right guys, and I'm here as long as they're here. All right, man, because you're endorsing something I don't know I could endorse. I don't know I could get behind And by the way, there are levels to this. You don't have to go to the extreme on something. Like, yes, you are right to say it's fascinating that Miles has said this. But you don't have to do the I'm here as long as they're here.
That's why it's fascinating. Is because he didn't have to.
That's why it's frustrating.
It's Dak Prescott in Dallas being like, Mike McCarthy, that's my guy. I love Mike McCarthy. It's like, no one's even asking you to come out and support Mike McCarthy. No one's even asking Myles Garrett to put his voice to it outside of the idea of like, what did Jimmy Haslam say? His comments, what did you think about that? He could have not answered the hell out of it. But he went the complete opposite direction, Nick.
Jimmy, Fred, Big Nose.
Big Nose.
All right. We'll get to you guys, 216-474-0092. For some reason, and I think I've espoused them in this segment, the Miles stuff just has not sat right with me, and it kind of came bubbling over there. There's just a lot of, oh, hey, we got this. You don't got this. You're 3-10. More to come on 92.3 The Fan. So we're going to take your reaction here on the Myles Garrett comments. But again, it's just maybe big picture. I don't even know what's specifically about Myles coming to such a big endorsement of Stefanski and Barry. I think it's just how content everybody seems being 3-10. And they say, hey, we got coach better. Nobody likes this. Doesn't seem like you're as pissed as I am.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's that scene I love in Fever Pitch with Johnny Damon. Johnny Damon, where they're sitting around and they're all eating dinner and Johnny Damon and them are all having a great time and the Red Sox fans with Jimmy Fallon are like, why don't you care as much as I do? That's what that felt like to me.
I thought it was
you want Myles Garrett to care as much as you do right now.
I thought it's when the Boston lady was like, you got a great ass. I thought that's the one you were talking about. I was like,
well,
what?
That's
what
I did.
That?
Johnny Damon.
Oh, yeah, you got the best butt in the
best butt in the league, Johnny Damon.
By the way, let's get to the Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Joe Batonio did not practice Wednesday and Thursday. Limited practice today. He's questionable for Sunday's matchup, as is Mike Hall Jr., as is Miles Harden, as is David Njoku. Although I think there's maybe a little more skepticism there. Cedric Tillman is out, and Kalikki Hudson is questionable. And that is your Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. I thought that was the case. I thought there was a lot of cynicism on Njoku not playing. I want to say Mary Kay, and I've heard Daryl talk about it. Am I wrong on that?
Oh, I thought you were speculating that it wasn't actually injured there for a second. I was like, that's juicy. No. Well, hey, I mean,
I'm only doubting the sincerity of what I'm hearing coming from the locker room, not injuries.
You are everywhere this hour, so yeah. I didn't know if you were just letting it all hang out on a Friday.
Just lashing out on a Friday. I really do think the lack of, I'm not saying you have to melt down every single day, but man, we've all been, I think we on the air, I'm not talking about just us, I'm talking about like in general, we've been super passive with this, and I think the rubber band just snapped back for me. Like that just blows. It sucks to just, even if they win.
I think your brain's kind of fried at the idea that somebody could be as involved and as invested in Barry and Stefanski and then have a 3-win season and be like, this is the team I want to run it back with.
Well, and it finally felt
that's hard, Nick. Hard.
Specific to Miles, it felt like Miles was finally getting the credit he was has been deserving of his entire career. And his name is not what it should be in NFL circles. When I'm saying that, I'm talking about like within fan circles, because they have not consistently won.
Well, but here's the thing, Nick. I think part of the fight that you're having for Miles and have been having for people like Miles that have been on this Browns team for a while and are going to be on the Browns team in the future, that fight goes out the window when they themselves say they want the status quo. How do I fight for you if you say you're happy right now?
And I think that's the frustration. It's like, can somebody show me this bugs you the way it bugs me? And here's the other thing. It does feel like the locker room just wants everyone to take the absolute rat poison that this is just about Deshaun. I mean, I think this idea of, all's well at the end. There's nothing to be concerned about. We got Stefanski and Barry. Of course we'll be better next year. Like, I feel like they themselves put it so much on Deshaun. I don't think that defense is watching itself. I don't think that offensive line watched what a disaster it was for half a year. No run game. One-sided offense. Yeah. And, like, Like, guys, are they better than they were? Are they better the last 8 weeks, 6 weeks than they were the first 7 weeks? Yeah. You played 13 weeks of football. You played 13 games. You should be better. And by the way, you did subtract one of your biggest problems, which was Deshaun. But just everybody. I'll be honest.
Look at the Rams, though. They had the worst offensive line in the league, and then the past few weeks they've turned it around. They're an 8-win team. They were in the absolute bottom of the basement, and now they're rallying in a way. Like we wanted to see some fight that way. What happens beyond just Deshaun?
I have no problem with fans who didn't like Deshaun in the first place, who got tired of Deshaun's BS, whatever it was, saying it's all about Deshaun. That's fine. But you in that locker room, you cannot look in the mirror and convince yourself it's all Deshaun. You can't. You really can't. And by the way, if you think it's all about Deshaun, how does it not lead to a question, who's responsible for Deshaun being here? Who's responsible for the worst trade in NFL history?
Right, but they're all giving them the same mulligan that the Haslams are offering up. That's the difference. They're all going to do it.
I'm not saying they're right in doing it. I'm just saying this is what they're thinking every year here. Like, you went to the playoffs, and you fired AVP. Hey, that guy's the reason Deshaun Watson sucks. You went 11-6, and you had a scapegoat. You're going to go 3-14, maybe, and they're just going to be like, well, I guess that sucked. On to 2025? That's wild. That is bananas. And we're all just, here's the thing. They've beaten us all down. You know what? Hey, I guess everybody does get a mulligan because we don't want to be the anti-Steelers again. I guess we just won't assess whether Kevin Stefanski's a good head coach. Why ask that question? We can just put it on Deshaun. Why ask about roster flaws, about drafting issues, about whether some of these guys are the right guys to lead you? And I'm not talking about Miles or Joel.
Something's changed here, though, I think is really fascinating. Because I remember a couple years ago, and this is maybe it's just the 11-win season, Nick. I don't know. You tell me. Remember that video that went around? There was one big Browns win that they had. And Stefanski was doing the game ball, and Miles rolled his eyes in the background. And like something happened there. Something's going on with that relationship. Something happened where now Miles just believes in Stefanski like nobody's ever believed in Stefanski before. I don't know what changed. I don't know, but it shouldn't change to the positive in a 3-win season.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Fred in Cleveland. Fred, welcome to the show.
Nick, I turned the radio on. I heard you going in, so I'm like, man, let me hop on here and pull your coattail and go with you, man. I want to start off by saying this is. Remember the term Moneyball? Remember when we got Andrew Berry and all of them? Remember Moneyball was thrown around, right? Mm-hmm. So many times. That's what it was, man. It's money at the end of the day, man. I'm just going to be transparent and be real as possible with everything, man. These guys don't care about winning at the end of the day, man. They care about that bank check. And I'm saying this to compare it to certain jobs that I've worked at where we all showed up and we worked as a team collectively. We had a coach. We had a person. But at the end of the day, we didn't go hard for that coach. We went hard probably for like the assistant coach, the assistant manager sometimes. It's money. It's, at the end of the day, man, these guys are paid. They're getting paid a lump sum of money, and they know it's guaranteed. So if you want to blame something, blame it on the people that's paying these guys out the gate astronomical figures before they even produce. If you want to blame somebody, you know, you can't blame the players, man, because look, I think them guys knew what they was getting into in the beginning. They in practice every day and they seen the garbage coming out of practice.
Fred, I'm telling you, they had no idea. I have people that told me around week four, when the TV crews and everything, that it told me they thought the Browns legitimately thought they had a Super Bowl caliber team.
But see, all right, but here's the deal, though. I don't, what one person saying, like right now, you just said you don't know what made Myles Garrett come out and start saying that after he was rolling his eyes. And I do remember that.
You remember that video, right? Yeah.
So people say, believe none of what you hear, half of what you see, right? So we hearing a whole bunch of things, but at the end of the day, if you look at it and we had to just put one and one together because they're not going to give us the real, you already know what, you looked at Deshaun Watson was throwing the ball in the dirt from the time we signed. He was throwing the ball in the dirt. Nothing changed. Them guys, you can't tell me them guys didn't see this guy got his arm is inaccurate. They knew. How can you go hard for a quarterback or a coach? Them guys just don't got no passion. They don't have nobody to get behind. At this point, it's like, let Myles Garrett go to where he go somewhere else. Quit holding these guys hostage. Quit holding them hostage here in Cleveland, man. Nobody, they ain't producing. They don't want to play. But if they, Myles Garrett is a good player, man. I just think that we should probably let him go and get ready to tear this thing down to the studs, because we're going to go one more year of, all right, this year was a fluke with the act, with the injuries, yada, yada, yada. And we're going to be back in the same position to start of next year. We're going to be rally pumped up for summer. Summer going to go so quick because we training camp. And then we're going to be rushing right to get back into a free end whatever season again.
Fred.
And then we're going to tear it down. Tear it down now, man.
We got to run, buddy. I appreciate you. Here's the thing. I don't think they have a choice in it. I don't – like, what – how – like, where's the talent outside of the older core? But, like, where's the talent that's saving the day? When is M.J. Emerson's the Tin Man? When's he going to find his heart? Like, when is Greg Newsome going to stop getting burnt on every play because he thinks he's freaking Deion Sanders in his prime? Like, and it's not just there. It's the D-line. Like, where's the talent that's going to save the day? Because Andrew Berry hasn't drafted well enough to do it. And everybody's just cool. You know what? Hey, because here's the thing. I think Jim and Strong had called in. I think he dropped off because he knew we were against it.
Uh-huh.
But like he had said, well, if you try and rebuild, Miles is gone. They're rebuilding. They don't have a choice. You don't get to choose when you rebuild in the NFL. Not when you're also massively compromised by the salary cap. The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.